Park, hello, welcome everybody to another glorious and sensational episode of the Trial and Aaron podcast, what we call it, the TAP. I am your host, Aaron, and this is Kit Kat. There she is. Oh, God, she's adorable. If you're only listening to it, just imagine the most adorable cat in the world, and she's what come to mind. Anyways, I'm coming hot off the heels of a fantastic podcast, a two-parter with none other than Gary Jackson. That was Solid Talking Master Sergeant Gary Jackson, 20-year man in the Air Force. But been not really a hiatus, just been up in Tahoe for the past 2 weeks, and I got some stories for you. I got some shit to talk about because I haven't scheduled a podcast with a guest other than Kit Kat, but it's going to be me, myself, and I, and all of you goddamn sliders, and just buckle up, get ready for it, because there's some good shit. There's some good shit here over the past couple weeks. But first, allow me to sip out of my goblet.
Yeah, I'm fucking that guy.
Oh, delicious. What a terrible burn. Let's see. The past 2 weeks, because I work part-time, because I'm just a fucking scoundrel with that work-life balance, I'm able to weasel my way out of, not out of work, but I'll leave on Wednesday and then just head up to Tahoe right after work, get up there in the nighttime, get whatever drinks, whatever groceries I need, and I get to South Lake Tahoe. That's where the cabin's at. And then I'll snowboard Thursday, Friday. Usually I come back Saturday, but for this two-week period, I had things to do on Saturday. So rewind 2 weeks ago, that Saturday I had a hockey game to go to because I got that for cousin Travis for Christmas, and I was about to pay up, baby. So I head up Wednesday after work. Thursday, snowboarding. I just go to Heavenly. That's my comfort zone. That's where I go. I got my nice purple fit. Got my, instead of Adrian Peterson jersey, it's wearing out a little bit, so I'm going Delvin Cook, good old 33. And fits well. Fits fantastic. Naturally, it's the Vikings jersey. And goodness gracious, Thursday it was blizzardy, it was snowy, and I don't believe there is such thing as waterproof clothing, because halfway through the day I'm getting soaked. I'm just sitting on the lifts shivering. Had my layers on, had my I have this a balaclava, I believe. It's just a little do-rag over your head. It leaves you look like a ninja. You have your eyes poking out, and then I can pull the sleeve over my nose. But I'm just breathing heavy. It's getting wet, and just, I don't know, every part of me is cold. But, and there's some people that just go straight up goggles or maybe glasses, maybe not even a helmet, and they're just taking the cold to the face. I'm like, how the hell do you guys survive the cold to the face? Maybe they're just manlier than I am. Oh, well. Anyways, Thursday was pretty miserable, but I was able to get home, just thaw a nice long shower, thaw out, and enjoyed Thursday. All right, let me tell you something, because I'm just a sucker for all these details, and I'm going to tell you every goddamn one of them. My days are full when I'm up there. I'm not just some slapdick. I wake up at 4:30 or 5, get my hour of riding in, make my breakfast, and a lunch. A nice little easy-to-make little burritos just to put in my pocket, because I'm not going to pay $20 for a bowl of chili, Heavenly. I won't do it.
China!
So I go to, there's an Anytime Fitness in Zephyr Cove. I pack up all my shit. I go over there.
China!
Get an hour of workout in. Then I'll get to, I like the Boulder Lodge, Nevada side. Nevada side, I think, is superior to California side at Heavenly. And I'll go there, and half the mountain was closed. It was windy. Sometimes the elements will shut it down. It happens, but I was able to salvage a decent day. Friday was a lot better. Same routine. Get up ass early. Write. God damn it, you got to write. Gym. Boulder Lodge. But those crazy fucks, I was able to get up on a bunch of lifts, but go to California side, you're not going to be able to get back. So I stayed most of the day. Nevada side, had a great time because there was enough snow to go through the trees a little bit. I don't like a high concentration of trees. Keep that shit open, but I was able to find my groove. It was all powder going through. I went off a couple kickers that I found on the way, and I don't usually get some air. I don't usually jump, but damn it, I'm a little more daring, and I felt pretty good getting some air, landing, and just cruising, baby. Got some good footage to put on the gram. I feel like the TAP is more like a lifestyle, damn it, and maybe eventually have like a snowboarding type branding or something like that, because I just love the fucking snow. Maybe the TAP is a Tahoe lifestyle. I love it. I need to get stickers so I can put them all over the place. Other people are putting stickers on the ski poles. When you're on the lift, I just want to reach over and just snap, put a sticker on every single goddamn one. People know. Listen to the TAP, damn it. Total non sequitur. I thought it'd be an awesome podcast setup to just be on a lift. Your asshole would definitely go numb. just get on the lift, set up cameras, microphones, and then just talk to people. Have such great conversations up there with people from all around the world, from across the country. And it's just, sometimes you get those silent treatments. Sometimes you just have a quiet ride up with strangers. And maybe within like 30 seconds left to go, I'll say a little something. Oh, you guys have a good day. Like, or some mention of something and have a good conversation with somebody. It's like, damn, we could have been talking this whole time. You bastard. But we're just going to just give each other the cold shoulder. That's a cold joke. A snow joke. Just do it. Anyways, Friday night, I cause a minor ruckus because I know like Saturday will be the true ruckus. Because Cousin Travis was supposed to come up Saturday morning. And then we go to the game, which starts at 7. Travis let me know earlier that week. The weather was not ideal. And the man has a wife, child, business. So he opted out, but he let me know prior, like plenty of time ahead. Like, hey, just not going to be able to make it. Tickets are insanely expensive. The Tahoe Night Monsters, they're a AAA team, I guess in baseball terms, a feeder team, minor league for the Golden Knights yonder in Vegas. So Friday night when I went out to cause my minor ruckus, there is a bar, I would say walking distance from our cabin, like 20-minute walk, and it's called The Turn. I go in there just, look, I'm a social goddamn butterfly. I have no fear going in there. Yeah, you're lone wolfing it, but it is what it is. My nickname's Sandwich, for crying out loud. So I go in there, mingling with the locals, just chit-chatting, shooting the shit. I come across this gal named May. May was very, very nice. Like we hit it off a little bit. I'm not sure how, I mean, just, I'm just so goddamn charming. We end up smooching some. We go outside for her to smoke a cigarette. I have my little weed vape pen, so I'm part of the cool kids. And she ends up going back inside. We're having a three-way conversation. This other gal, she's smoking a cigarette, big old glasses, frizzy hair, and she starts going off on politics and whatever. They're both trying to talk to me. I'm not saying I'm some Mac, but it's like not one conversation. It's two different conversations I'm trying to have with both of them or whatever. May ends up going back inside. But this lady deviated me to such a point because I wanted to keep on chatting with May, see where things go, see where things may go. But good God, I'm not here to shit on people's political opinions, but this woman, oh, what was her name? I cannot remember, but I remember that she had this radical left-wing ideology, like to the point, it was this fervent, dogmatic fanaticism that courted violence. I was just sitting there, just, this lady is out of her goddamn mind. There's people like that on the like the far right. Absolutely, this was just someone who's radical doesn't quite describe it. And I was a little scared for my life, but hey, I got out of there. May left. She had her dog. She's a vet tech. She had her dogs in her car. I was able to get somebody to pick her up, take me home. But before she left, it's like, hey, do you want to go to a hockey game tomorrow? Got an extra ticket. She says, yeah. She has work, gets off at 6. I said, that's great, because game time's at 7. Let's go. So, boom, got the ticket taken care of. Saturday, wake up, get my riding in. I was conflicted because I wanted to go snowboarding again on a Saturday. I was like, damn it all. Got my riding in, and I drove to Boulder Lodge because you got to pay at the California side. On the weekends, I get that there's no parking. I go to another spot, no parking. It is an absolute zoo. And I just chalk up as a loss. I go to this place in Tahoe. It's called the Yellow Submarine Sandwiches. I saw it the other day randomly passing by. I'm making it a point to go to a lot more local bars, local food, hole-in-the-wall food establishments, whatnot. This place, goddamn, just for half a sando, it was still pretty big. I saw 8 inches. And I filled that shit up, and it was like $20. I mean, it was a hefty sandwich, hefty price tag, but it's Tahoe, damn it. Scarfed every goddamn bite. A little Dutch crunch roll for you, boy. Should have got toasted, but I had everything under the sun put on that thing. And so it wasn't total loss of an afternoon. Got back knowing, all right, I'll take a little nappy poo. Then I'm going to go out and pregame a little bit before game time. Meanwhile, May, to my dismay,
I'm not gay no more.
She says, hey, things are crazy at the clinic. There's anesthesia, and she has to stay there late after some surgeries to make sure the pets are okay. Like, I get it. it sucks, but I'm like, damn, there goes my companion and my opportunity to woo this lady. No wooing, unfortunately. So I go to, it's called Tipsy Putt. I get an Uber ride over there after drinking quite heavily. I'm feeling pretty goddamn good. Feeling spicy. And have a good conversation. A dude from Kazakhstan, just this wild foreigner. He likes the United States. There's a lot of foreigners working up there as a Uber and Lyft drivers. And just had a great conversation. Funny guy. Knows Borat. And get to Tipsy Putt. And I go in there, have a beer. I'm sitting down at the bar table, probably about 5:30. And this gal comes by. She's dropping down pamphlets for, I was like, oh, what's this? Oh, Tahoe bar crawl or club crawl, whatever. And I start talking to this gal, kind of looks like Marissa Tomei a little bit, you know, she's a good looking gal and probably her mid to late 30s. And she ends up like taking her jacket off. I was like, you want a drink? She's like, sure, I'll have a drink. I'm like, not keeping it from your job, are you? She's like, no, she's good. Get her a drink. We have drinks. I'm like, hey, you want to play Tipsy Putt? This isn't all of a sudden. There's some rapport building. I establish I'm not a psychopath. Maybe she is after. Anyways, I was like, hey, do you want to play Tipsy Putt? I mean, I got an extra ticket. Not sure if you're busy. Just throwing it out there. If you want to go to accompany me to a hockey game, it's literally like a 15-minute walk in the cold, but it is what it is. Not when you have a beer blanket on. It's not that bad. And she's game. She's about it. So within 2 hours of game time, I'm able to weasel my way. And you know, my social skills, what are my notes? My social skills are plus 100% because I had the date planned Friday, blows up Saturday. A couple hours before game time, I'm able to pull it together. Not through my own volition. She just was passing around, random conversation. I was like, why not? Let's see what's going. So Tipsy Putt, we play. I showcase my skills. And it was free to play because I walk in there. I'm a courteous motherfucker. And the gal working, there's a front desk and then the bar's further back at the front desk. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Good night. Blah, blah, blah. Just being a gentleman. Just being cordial with people working there. And apparently this gal, we'll just call her Bunny. Her nickname's Bunny. And we go to pay to play. It's a little nine holes, little mini putt-putt inside this place. And that like the gals know each other, and I'm like, all right, how much are you? She's like, oh, because you're nice, like you guys get to play. And plus, you know Bunny. I'm like, no shit. I'm like, you take tips. She's like, yes, right here. And I just slapped her a fiver. And so we play, we drink, we go to the hockey game. She knows hockey pretty well. It's a full house. It's a very at the Tahoe Blue Center. It's a very intimate venue, very small, but it's perfect for hockey because you're looking down over it. You see how fast they are. You can see the puck. You're hearing the hiss of the ice, the sketching, and like the pushing, shoving. They were getting rowdy. The crowd's getting rowdy. And let me tell you, this game, like we're getting drinks. We're just like loving every second of it. We're down 1-2 as the game goes on, and then we're up 3-2 with I would say 2 minutes to go. Those sons of bitches, the other team, I forget where they're from, but they score, ties it up. We go to overtime. The Zamboni goes out, just makes it look nice, crystal clear ice, and they only go 3-on-3. 3-on-3 with two goaltenders, and it goes on for a couple minutes. There's a scrum on their end. The crowd just goes nuts. I have no idea what's going on. Apparently, we win 4-3. The Lake Tahoe Night Monsters. I am letting it be known on the tap right here, right now. As disgusted as I am or was with the NFL, but oh, shout out to the Eagles for saving the nation.
China.
Baseball's pissing me off. Basketball's whatever. That Luka trade was atrocious. There's scheming and finagling going on in the sports world, but hockey seems pure. And I'm going to announce my official fandom for the Lake Tahoe Night Monsters. What my official NHL team will be remains to be seen. Seems a little bandwagony to hop on the Golden Knights asses. But for now, I'm all about the Lake Tahoe Night Monsters. What a goddamn game. It was super fun, rowdy, and I love the energy in there. So we won, and then afterwards I'm like, oh, maybe we'll go get some drinks with Bunny. We go out. She sees some friends. We go into a casino. We're chatting. She's chatting with friends, and she's like, hey, my friend needs me or whatever. She got a little weird, not going to lie. And there was some smooching with her as well, damn it. So I think, yeah, things are going good. We're smooching at the Tipsy Putt. Just it seemed whatever. I'm not forcing myself. I'm not Jackson Mahomes for crying out loud. I'm fucking sandwich, AG, baby. And we're just chatting it up, like, whatever. What? She, it's not weird. She smooched back. We go to the game, have a great time. Afterwards, she abandons me, damn it. She abandons me. So I walk a little ways to the house to lessen the price of the Uber. Get the Uber, get home. Leave Sunday for the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, that's what I swore up and down I wasn't going to watch the Super Bowl. I wasn't going to watch the refs win. Dare I say the Chiefs? No. And I end up getting over there. I call Skyla. Hey, you watching at your in-law's house? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, do you mind if I come along? I'm if it was some bullshit, like the first call, that little pass interference on A.J. Brown, if I was saw that out the gate, I'm like, nah, this ain't happening. Ain't happening. I'm not watching the refs win. Boy, howdy, to see the Chiefs get bent over and just plowed like Mantis toboggan. It was so satisfying to see what happens when the refs aren't bailing out the Chiefs every single goddamn play. Mahomes actually got hit. Four-man rush. He got the business. That's what happens when you play fucking football without the refs bailing you out. And the better team won. It was just an ass-whipping through and through. The Chiefs dynasty is in Chiefs and refs dynasty is in rubbles. They're dead, like in the water. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. They made all the mistakes, and Jalen Hurts played his ass off, as did the rest of the Eagles. Their defensive front four, dear God, they fucked him up, and I was there for every second of it. I'm glad that I my word was not as impeccable as it should be, telling everybody that would listen, oh, I'm not watching them. Just throwing a biggest fit, and then just like the bitch that I am, I just went crawling back. I watched it, and it was glorious. But the glory goes on, because there was another week up in Tahoe. I had a spur of the moment. I bought tickets to a reggae concert up there the following Saturday. Won tickets. Figured, why not? Get all stony baloney. Go and enjoy some live music at the same event center. And so Wednesday comes after work. It's a late day. We get off a little late, but I make it to Tahoe in time. Make it safe and sound in mommy and daddy's Bronco. And Thursday rolls around. It's a little the same routine. Get up, write, work out, get to Boulder Lodge. And it was it stormy? It was a little Stormy Daniels. Absolutely. It was so stormy. In fact, Thursday, like it was dumping. Like it was dumping another storm. And Boulder Lodge, only the Boulder Lodge was open. If anybody knows, it's a green circle, slapdick. It's a fun little run, but I'm not spending all day there. And I checked California side was far more open. I trudge back to the Bronco, pack up my shit, and I go to the California side. And there's some good runs there. Thursday, some good runs, but there were some times where I had to just sit there. The wind is kicking up all the kind of, it looks like dust, but it's just such light snow, powdery pow. And I had to stop, drop to my knees, and just like hold my hands in front of my face to let all the snow pass by. Because you couldn't see anything. You have no idea where you're going. It's such a whiteout, such a blizzard. The wind's howling. You could be standing up and think that you're going forward with how hard the wind is pressing up against you, only to see that you've just been standing still the entire time. But anyways. Okay, Paso, a good Thursday. I got a text from old Bradley Lou, old Bradley Case, damn it. And old Bradley Lou said, hey, coming up, sandwich. He's on his way up. He left work Thursday. He and Dog Cash, they get up there, and we think maybe Skylar's gonna come, but it's Valentine's Day on Friday. Hopefully brother Skylar can make it up. But he has Disney on Ice on Saturday morning. And hopefully he's able to come up and enjoy the pow, because it was dumping all Thursday. Lou and I go out to the bars, and we go to bed, and oh my goodness, we didn't know if Sky was gonna make it up or not, but the weather was pretty abysmal, so it would have been dangerous to go up Thursday night. But Friday, he called us, and we wake up to like a foot and a half, 2 feet of snow out in the backyard, base level at Tahoe. It's been a whole lot of nada the past couple months. So much snow. Tony Montana's dream. And
China.
God damn it. Skylar wasn't able to make it up. He said everything should be open. Lou and I are looking forward to a glorious day. When other people are over, I don't go and work out. I got up and wrote a little bit. Cash Dog was just very hesitant. He wasn't wanting to go out in the backyard and take a shit or anything. This snow is not happening. He just stayed at the door, did the downward dog stretch. He's like, I'm not going out. So Lou and I pack up our drinks. I'm a fireball guy on the mountain. Sometimes tequila if I have my my little flask with me, because I'm a degenerate. I got that. My weed pen. You want to be loose. Want to be loose. Not so loose that you're putting other people's lives in danger. There's a nice happy medium to the looseness when you're snowboarding. So we get up there around 8:30. There's just a super long line California side. And I'm just jealous. Some people are already coming down. They haven't got the ski lifts going yet. And then eventually we get up there and they don't even have Sky or Canyon open. Those are two of the biggest lifts on the California side. Sky needs to be open because when there's a fuck ton of people on California side, you can disperse it. Have people going to Nevada. All right. I get it. You can't defeat Mother Nature when it comes down to that, when there's so much snow. There's a ton of snow. There's a ton of snow. But people are paying a ton of money to fucking go there. I know you got employees, Heavenly. I know you're making that money with I want to say there's at least 300 people not only in the parking lot. Waiting in line, I would say there's at least 150, 200 people. And each of those is going to be like $200 plus to get your ass up there. So I'm going to tell you where this vitriol is coming, because we get up there, Lou and I have a couple of runs through the trees, and Brad is way more advanced snowboarder than I am. He has far more confidence. He's used to riding that wild bull, reckless abandon. He's like, you know, sometimes, Sandwich, you gotta be a little out of control. I mean, he seems in control of being out of control. He just doesn't fear it. For me, I want to have a little bit. Sometimes you just follow the tree line, whatever. And you just gotta ride the wave where it takes you. But this kid, him, Sky, Romero's, there's people that I associate with far better snowboarders than I am. And we go down some tree lines, some fresh powder. I'm falling a little bit, probably have like two or three falls the first go, just because some of the snow's already chopped up by other people. But anytime you fall, the inconvenience is trying to get back up because there's so much powder. You feel nothing. Mother Nature's just, here, give me a hug. And made it down a couple of times, but we get to Canyon. So there's Canyon and Sky right next to each other. Canyon just opens up. Lou has a hunch. He's like, let's go down there instead of doing these little blue squares. Let's go to Canyon and see what happens. We get to Canyon right as it opens. By God, it's amazing. We get like two runs in of just straight powder. We create our own lines. A little windy, but it's not bad. It's not so bad that they should have kept Sky closed. It was at the point we were waiting at least 15, 20 minutes to get back on Canyon. We get disgruntled. I'm pissed off because it is around 11. You have these drunk-ass, stoned-ass lifties, Heavenly, working around the clock. They're like, oh, we're digging it out. Look, I have no experience running a ski lift, running a mountain resort, but when you have hundreds of fucking people on one side, Heavenly, hear me out. You get their asses there early, start digging. I don't care. I have a conspiracy. You're just saving fuel for the rest of the weekend. It was President's Day weekend. There's going to be a fuck ton of people there on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever. That is some bullshit. People are paying this much money for you to not have Sky Express open. You opened it maybe at 2 o'clock. But before that, Lou and I just said, hey, we'll go to the bar and we're going to just drink until it opens up. We have some great conversation with people and end up, we were like, you know, let's just, it's about 2 o'clock. We're going to hash it in or call it a day. We get down to the baseline. We drive away only to find on our way out that, God damn it, they opened up Sky Express at 2 o'clock. What the hell are you doing? But before that, we had some amazing runs. The runs we did get on were awesome. And we talked to this dude because last year someone died in a tree well because there was a ton of snow. Little tap PSA, watch out for tree wells. If you're going to go through the trees, be silly, have fun, have your fun, avoid the tree wells. Some person didn't. Unfortunately, it sucks. They died. They fell into it, I think, just face first. And apparently he had a white board underneath. The board was just white, so it's hard to see. And so Brad, like, we're talking about it a little bit, kind of speculating on things. And the guy sitting next to us, we're talking with him all the way up. And he's like, yeah, I was actually the guy that found him. No way. Just, he saw the board sticking up, randomly called the Heavenly people or the ski patrol, whatever. They did some CPR. He was long gone, but just wild. We talked to the guy that found the body. So that was cool. We talked to a handful of cool people. We're inside the, It's like a gazebo with plastic windows all around and pretty cozy inside there. We had our some Bloody Marys, some Twisted Teas, talked to some good people. We even got a cup of Cheez-Its, damn it, because the bartender was just that nice. We get back. We take our nap because it's Friday. We're going to go out cause a ruckus. Just a couple of dudes on Valentine's Day. We go to return to Tipsy Putt, have some beers. We putt it up. I think Brad won, damn it. We go to this Mexican restaurant on the way to the casinos. Have a nice little burrito. We're just shooting the shit, margaritas. And then we get into the casino. Don't go to the Wolf. Not Bally's, whatever Hard Rock used to be. Some piece of shit dealers. I mean, yes, I get it. I was buzzing pretty hard. And I'm trying to play craps. Like, guys, watch your mouth. Don't use the F word. I'm just... like, I'm not causing a scene, any problems or whatever. I was like, you know what? I'm done with it. I'm not playing with it anymore. He's like, all right, have a good night. It's like, you fucking wiener. I don't like you anyway. So don't go to the former Hard Rock. It sucks. I think it's called the Wolf now or something. Well, anyways, who cares? But we walk around, lose a blackjack guy, rambler, gambler, and we come across, we meet a friend named, we'll call her Lindsay. Lindsay's this badass, this cool blonde, I would say, in her... late 30s, possibly early 40s, just down to earth. We all hit it off. A lawyer lady, her husband's a lawyer. Just, she's an absolute bro. What a bro she is. And, God, we just, she is used to gambling, is not hurting for money. Jesus. She's just such a badass. We all just walk around together. She's a wingman. We all go dancing a little bit. And we're outside the casinos, and I will just say, I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. This is all hypothetical. Hypothetically, me, Lou, and Lindsay are walking on the side of, there's like a main strip of casinos in Southlake at the state line, and cars are driving by, and she's like, oh, I could hit one with one of these snowballs. Hypothetically, and I'm like, don't do it. I'm trying to be Mr. Responsible as I'm fucked up. Mr. Responsible says, don't do it. Could be dangerous. Meanwhile, Brad hypothetically says, you won't do it. You won't do it. This Hellraiser. She picks up some ice. It's like hard snow. Hopefully it was soft snow, whatever. She gets a ball of snow and hucks it at this taxi passing by, splatters on the windshield. Brad's losing his shit, loving it. She wants to get another one, keep throwing snowballs at these cars, hypothetically. And I'm like, no, I grab her. We're going inside this casino. We gotta get gone. And so we get back inside. We hail an Uber. We go back to the turn. May's there. I'm trying to spit some game, hit on her, blah, blah, blah. She's not feeling it. I'm like, it's all good. Like, not in an awkward way. She's just... sometimes you can only handle so much charm. Some drunk guy at the end of the night who just has nothing but sex on his mind was not egregious. I'll tell you that much. I am a gentleman. I was just, you know, selling myself. Like, hey, it's a good time. You know, I'm a good guy. Blah, blah, blah. She's not having it. It's all good. No means no. And I'm going chatting with other girls. Apparently, I rubbed May the wrong way. I'm like, hey, it's all good. She's want to do her own thing. I go talk to some other girls. Apparently, according to Brad, I pissed May off. Just whatever. He's like, sandwich, you're making friends and enemies. I guess so. That's what I do. Brad, Lindsay, and I go back to the cabin. And then Brad gets her an Uber back to the casino she was staying at. She had a little vape pen. We're just hanging out in the living room a little bit. She gets back. But, well, what a Friday it was. What a Friday. We get to bed around 3:30. Man, I'm not in college anymore. The next day, Brad was, he had schemed and coordinated with old Henry Nicholson,
China,
master skier. They were gonna go to Kirkwood, which is about 45 minutes away from our cabin in Southlake. Possibly Cody Romero, but Brad and Henry were supposed to go to Kirkwood the next day, early the next morning. Brad, you just have a 45 minutes of sleep, get up and get going. So, I get my couple hours of sleep. I wake up, not terribly hungover. I get up, and Brad's on the couch. I'm like, Lou, what the hell are you doing here? What the hell? You and Cash just cuddling on the couch. And he's like, aha, everybody abandoned me. Everybody. Apparently, Brad had his misgivings because I guess Henry went to Centerfolds and didn't go to bed till like 5:30 or something. He went to Centerfolds. That silly bastard. Those hooers, those strippers. And he would not be denied, but he had to deny Bradley some snow time. Cody couldn't make it. But that was a spur of the moment thing. That rascal Henry, you owe Brad. Saying it on the tab, you owe Brad, damn it. So Brad ended up just kicking it. We just hung out at the cabin, thumbs up our asses all day. Brad dabbled or thought about heading back home, but he's like, you know what, sandwich, I'm just kicking it here. We just had some beer, some recovery beers. We got some excellent breakfast burritos. And let me tell you, I loaded up on the salsas. Brothers Breakfast Burritos in South Lake Tahoe. Check it out. I got bacon. There's a little ham in it. I didn't order ham, but hey, a little ham surprise. I got a ton of their salsas, but they also had this jalapeno sour cream. It was just really runny sour cream with a little spice to it. God damn, was feeling fat. Also had my nachos. And God bless it. After breakfast burritos, I had the reggae concert starting at 4 to like 10. I'm like, I'm not about to stay this entire time. I just didn't have the energy after staying up till way past my bedtime the night before. So game time gets closer, and I asked Brad, we give Kashish a walk, just nice bluebird day. Everybody and their mom's gonna be on the mountain, so it's like we're not gonna bother. It's a blackout day for epic passes anyway, so I'm not gonna waste my time nor money. And so I'm able to weasel and finagle Brad to give me a ride over to the event center. He acquiesces, of course. And past couple days, we get each other drinks. Brad's one of those guys, and hopefully all friends can be this way, where it's like, I'm not keeping tabs on who owes me what. I do know if someone gets me a beer or food or whatever, I know I owe them. So we're going back and forth. I know I'll owe Brad for giving me a ride, of course. So we get there. My edibles are kicking in. And I get there, and I'm like, it's a fucking reggae concert. I freak out a little bit because I can't find my seat or whatever. So I go off to the side. Not a lot of people there, but they start kind of funneling in, and within the first hour, I think, what's the band? I'm not trying to talk too much shit on what are they called, Fortunate Youth, but the main singer guy, just one of those people, I hated his face. I don't know this guy. Could be a great guy. I don't know. Just some white dude, button up Hawaiian shirt, a pedophile, long beard, just chin straight down, and a fedora, and a weird kind of, the way he looked and sounded, and I just wanted to pop my thumbs into his eyes. There's nothing I know about this guy that warrants this. I'm just being weird in the corner listening to reggae music, bored as shit. I'm like, I gotta make it at least an hour and a half before heading back, because tickets are like over $100. I'm like, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend to like this and just be a bum, moody little bitch. I'm putting out bad vibes. I don't want to put out bad vibes. I want to enjoy my time in Tahoe. So I chalk it up as a loss, get to the main lobby in the event center, and I check Uber. And it's around, 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'm trying to give myself more credit than I deserve making it that long. $80 back for a 15-minute Uber ride. So I'm like, motherfuck. I leave, I start walking, I give Brad a call. Because I text him, I'm like, this is boring as shit. And he just laughs at me. I'm like, dude, it is $80 for an Uber. Do you mind? This is egregious of me to ask. $80. I'm like, hey, I'm down to like walk a ways and just get an Uber if you're already drinking or whatever. Like, you're good. He's like, now I got you, sandwich. Like, Bradley Lou comes through. Let it be known. Lou comes through. He came through for me. I walked as far as I could. Got to a spot because there's so much traffic. There's so much traffic in South Lake. It's President's Day weekend. Like I said, everybody and their mom. Lou comes through. Picks me up. We get a nice little back way home, and we just go straight to, we're both starving. All we've had to eat at this point with breakfast burritos. We get to, it's called Grand Central Pizza. It's in the same parking lot as the turn. So we get in there. I'm like, get out of here, Kit Kat. Get
real bad man.
Come, little Kit Kat. So we go, we get pizza. We have a good conversation with like the owner there, some young guy, and like, we're talking, just the conversation goes all over the place. It's just us two in there, some foreigner, like this dude from Argentina, Matthias, I believe. He's sitting there, he takes our orders, get our beers, we order food. It's all on me. I owe Brad this and then some, because goddammit, I'm just a needy little bitch, and come pick me up. I don't like it here. He picked me up, and yeah, the main guy, we're just, I forget how meth comes up, but we start talking about meth a little bit and weed, drugs, whatever. And the guy's like, oh yeah, I've done it. But this guy said he's 25. He's done some meth. And so we're just a little taken aback, but he talks more about what he's been through and stuff. Like, he's on the up and up and sober. So we get some, it's called pizza chips. They got, it looks like a pizza with no, like hardly any cheese on it, but there's, it was just garlic. And I got some chicken wings. Brad got some Alfredo. It's okay over there, but had our beers. And then we just walked across to the turn, had a two beers, just we're gonna have a beer and then head back. It's been a long day. We gotta head back tomorrow morning. And two beers turns into six, three each. Damn it, we're chilling there. May's there, and May, I apologize, like, hey, the other day, you know, blah blah blah. She's cool with it. I'm not trying to upset the queen bees over there, because people seem to know her there. It's a local dive bar. I talked to the bartender. She's like, oh yeah, I told May Aaron's here. I'm like, you know, I don't know your name yet. These locals, so I'm not trying to piss anybody off. And so May comes over, I give her a hug, and she's like, yeah, and she starts loving up on Brad, gives him a hug, gives him a couple kisses on the cheeks. Hey, if Loop-de-Loo's gonna just, somebody's gonna bang, at least somebody bangs her, I wouldn't mind. Like, trying to make me jealous, at least my buddy's getting some, you're not gonna make me jealous. She gives him the kiss, Brad's just kind of sitting there, he's like, shrugs, drinks his beer, and then eventually she kind of scampers away. So Brad and I just sit there, just a couple of dudes at a bar top, just chilling. And he's like, well, I'd feel bad if I closed my tab after one beer. So, you know, multiple rounds later, we're like, all right, we're ready to head back. Get home safely, Uber there. And then we just wake up early the next day. Starts dumping a little bit more, a couple hours back, just being nice and nice and safe with it. But we get back, I get back in time for trivia. Glorious trivia. Shout out to Trivia at Hoobies, Sundays at 2, hosted by yours truly. But that put an end. 10 days in Tahoe, way too much. I felt so bad, like I was abandoning my damn cats. I love my kitties. And shout out to Benny and Debbie Gertz for taking care of these little rascals while I was gone. A lot of poop when I got back. A lot of poop in that litter box. But that's neither here nor there. Oh my goodness, a little recap there, just monologuing, ranting. Lou comes through, Night Monsters win, the Eagles win, Philly is in flames, the Chiefs dynasty's dead, Kings are doing good, so we're back at it. I'm staying here in the Valley this upcoming week, and believe me, you, there's going to be some guests on the tap. They're coming up. I've gotten a wide array of people I'm in contact with. It's going to be great. It's going to be worth listening to. But all you guys, just, I see, I think there's like 74 subscribers now. 74. Here's to you, you guys. Jesus.
Motherfucker.
For Gary's last podcast, I saw the 29 views. I get it, seems like peanuts compared to the thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of views out there at other channels. I don't give a fuck. This is a tap. This is my little microcosm, my universe. And you guys are just these space sliders, just following, listening. I appreciate you guys. Spread the word, spread the good news that is the tap. I love all of you guys. Thank you for spending your time with me, listening and indulging. So anyways, lest I keep rambling, there's gonna be a goy story at the end of this one. Oh shit, it's been too long. Yes, there's gonna be a goddamn goy story. Thank you for listening, and until next time. Good morning, lads! Oh!
Are you having a goy day? I know I am. And you better have had a good goy day yesterday. Because if I find out that you did it, I'm gonna hunt you down and shove a fucking cocaine-filled Hot Pocket so far up your ass you'll be tasting it for months.
But in case you had a goy day, don't worry about it.
Oh, what a glorious morn. For on this goy story, we find Goy in his humble abode, just hanging out, watching television, until he decides to go down to his basement to visit his gimp. He walks downstairs, unlocks the door,
goes in there, and we find Tiger Woods dressed up in leather, much like the Gimp from Pulp Fiction. He has chains on his neck to the wall. Tiger pleads with Gore,
"Why are you doing this? Jesus Christ!"
Gore tells Tiger,
"What you did to Elon was f***ed up. While we were banging in the back of that bus for 2 days to go f*** up A-Rod, we talked a little bit. Talked about her feelings, the kids, the family, and the trickle-down effect of your lustful ways. For Gore is not a mere animal. Oftentimes, while during his 48-hour love-making sessions, he will talk to the wenches, and they respond. So just imagine Goy banging away.
So, where are you from?
Oh, that's nice. Oh, no, I have family there from, there, yeah.
And it just goes on and on, a two-day lovemaking, but they also connect on a deeper, more emotional level. Goy, not the animal, but is in many ways. For the wenches could barely get words out sometimes in between climaxes. So Goy goes down at least once or twice a day to talk to Tiger and just throw golf balls at him whilst he sits there and mopes and whines like a little bitch in his Gimp outfit, for which he has grown a little fond of. Then Goy receives a voicemail from John Daly.
Gore, it's John f***ing Daly. I know you asked you to do a lot of favors, but I just saw the Kim Kardashian sex tape. It's not really good at all. The angles are bad. She doesn't reciprocate. She's a terrible lovemaker. And to be quite frank with you, I can't stand the bitch. Could you go just goy her? Thanks, buddy. I left you a little message, or a little gift in your mailbox the other day.
Goy hangs up the phone and runs outside to open up his mailbox to find no parcels, no package, no letter. But it's just merely filled with cocaine. Just an abundant amount of cocaine. Goy just sticks in his hand, grabs a handful, and just poof, just shoves it in his face. The neighborhood kids are all around watching. He says, "Don't do drugs, kids!" And then Goy disappears. Just disappears. Who knows if it was really cocaine? Some magical John Daly mixture. Meanwhile, we join the Kardashians in their house, the air filled with their smugness and arrogance. And then out of the ceiling crashes Goy. Goy gets up, slaps a security guard or two, slaps the cameraman. He's slap happy. Pop, 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 pop. Woo! He's honking now. You got him going crazy, fucking Goy. He goes up to Kim K and does that whole thing that you do with the little kids. I got your nose, but he really rips the bitch's nose off. But it's so goddamn fake that it just comes off with ease, like snapping a carrot in two. And she's like, "Jesus, that's my brand. I'm supposed to be beautiful." He's like, "You're ugly from the inside out, bitch. Why don't you work like a real porn star and make more movies? You have a lot of training to do, but for now I'm going to take your goddamn nose and I'm going to go away." That is the definition of getting goyed. Getting put in your place, bitched, and just brought down a peg or two, or 10. So now Kim Kardashian is noseless. And Goy replaces her nose with a fake ball sack, which is impossible to move. Just a fake old ball sack. Ah, you thought it was a white ball sack. Nay, it's a big black ball sack. Compliments of George Foreman. But Goy demands homage. And last week, Goy demanded his ball sack so he cannot produce any more George Foremans. And it's hard for Kim Kardashian to speak now because there's just balls hanging from her nose down to her lips. She goes... So that's the life she lives now. And then before more security guards could be brought inside the house, Goy takes a cocaine-filled hot pocket, throws it down on the ground, poof, Like the ninja that Goy is, he disappears in a white cloud of cocaine. And then the cocaine settles and is blown away by the wind. Goy reappears at the hangout of he and John Daly. Sits down, tosses the nose at John's feet as he is getting a blowjob from the wench on demand. He's like, ah, that's my Goy. Goy opens up the cooler, pulls out a gallon of milk for himself, and a cold brew for John Daly. The milk is just merely cocaine. Goy pulls out his spinny little straw. Nay, it's one of those beer dispensing helmets. And the cups on either side of his head, he just fills with cocaine. For the big nostril is never satisfied. And then Goy and John Daly just party off the third fairway of Augusta at their hangout like they usually do. And that, my friends, is the definition of getting Goyed in this story. More Goy stories in the future. Perhaps more origin of Goy stories. But for right now, all you need to know is George Foreman's ballsack is hanging off the face of Kim Kardashian. Yes. How profound. Anywho, I hope the rest of you have a great Goy damn day. And you know what happens if Sandwich finds out if you don't have a Goy day. Yes, quite. But anyway, lads, I've taken up too much of your time. Tune in next time for another Goy story. Goy day, f***er.
You lose. Good day, sir.